Ah, yes, it's 2010. It's time to talk tech in the coming decade. More importantly, next week, live from the Consumer Electronics Show, Brandon and I and Clay and some others are going to be working the floor, looking for all the new gadgets. And if you're not already a Facebook fan, that is where we're going to be posting all of our videos, all of our pictures, all of our thoughts as we go about exploring what's going on. Got a whole team up there next week. We're going to be broadcasting from the floor of the convention center next week. And so it'll be towards the end of the show, so we'll really be able to kind of wrap up and synopsize what we saw and what we believe is interesting stuff. I always make fun of the Consumer Electronics Show. It's primarily a show of solutions searching for a problem. You know, like, oh, yeah, you have to have an internet terminal on the front of your fridge. What?
Why?
No, I mean, on paper, I'm sure somebody thought, oh, this is going to be groundbreaking. You know, you pull something out of the fridge and you run it past a little barcode scanner. It remembers, so it knows that you're down, you know, one can of vegetable or whatever.
Refrigerator inventory.
Exactly. I mean, that was one of the concepts that they threw out there. Like, oh, yeah, the whole world's going to be doing this. Like,
they forget how lazy people are.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys are in fantasy land and stuff. Anyway, so let's go to the phones. First call of the first show, the first part of this decade. Who do you think it might be?
Not sure.
It might be Lewis. Yes? Do I? I can pick up my own lines, huh? Here I am. Lewis.
Hey, Bingo. How are you doing?
Well, if I could figure out how to push the buttons around here, I'd be great.
Well, you can figure it out. My goodness.
I will, but Brandon's not here, and he usually handles all this. I usually come over here and flap my gums.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I've got a question, Ken.
Yep.
Where does my browser, I use Firefox, keep the videos that I watch online? I know it downloads them somewhere, and I haven't been able to find it because there's a Randy Posh video that I want to save, to give to others, and can't find out where it's kept.
Yeah, it's going to be in your internet cache, which is usually in the users folder, and it's usually a hidden folder. So you're going to have to change the view. You know how to change the view that says show me the hidden files?
Yeah, it's on the tools menu of the...
open up any of the My Computer interfaces, windows.
Any browser.
What are you using for an operating system?
XP.
Okay, so yeah, XP is going to be different. I'm working on a Windows 7 machine, so I don't want to give you the step-by-step on this because it's completely different. First thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to tell your computer to show you the hidden files because the cached files for a lot of browser sessions are in these hidden folders. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to have to navigate through your users folder into the, let's see, an XP. I'm doing this from memory here. You're going to have to go through... It's going to be like users and then find your, you know, the username that you log in with.
Yeah.
And just start exploring all the hidden folders, the ones that are obviously hidden, the ones that tell you that they're now there, but they're kind of ghostly.
Yeah.
Because it's like user info. I don't know.
I will look for it.
I've been partying. I've been partying all weekend. I can't remember. Taylor, what are you
doing
here?
I have to ask you, are you familiar with Randy Posh?
No.
USCH. He's a computer whiz at Carnegie Mellon University. He was diagnosed with cancer and given only a few months to live, and he gave a lecture called The Last Lecture. And I haven't watched the whole thing. I've watched enough of it. It is absolutely inspiring and humorous and sad all at the same time.
Well, email me a link. I'd love to see that. And if it's something I think that's appropriate, we'll post it up on the fan page there.
Yeah, it's really something. And I would like to get it. And it's free to use and disseminate for non-commercial purposes. So copyright would be no problem.
All right, Louis. Hey, thanks for chiming in. Thanks for coming in to the very first show here on the Computer Corner 2010. As we fumble around here. Peter, how are we doing on time? I'm clueless here. We good? We're good. All right. Okay. We got a minute or so. We do have a couple lines open. One line open, 602-277-5827. Steve, Dave, if you wouldn't mind hanging on through the break, that'd be great. We are going to talk more about things like augmented reality.
Well, that seems pretty cool. That seems really cool.
Augmented reality.
Of course, I pronounce it augmented.
Augmented reality. Those of you with an iPhone, especially the newer versions of the iPhone that have the compass capabilities and the video and what have you, you're already starting to experience some of the first levels of augmented reality. And so we're going to go into more detail about what that's all about and why that might actually have a dramatic impact on how you compute and how you ingest information and interface with technology in just this next 12 months. Those handheld devices that we're kind of looking at is really, oh, look at all this cool stuff it can do. You ain't seen nothing yet, brothers and sisters. 2010 is going to blow your mind when it comes to the handheld world. So we'll talk more about that when we come back, as well as next week when we're reporting live from the, broadcasting live from the floor of the Consumer Electronics Show, which is where all the really cool stuff, other than the folks at Apple, they're not going to bother with us. So it is the Computer Corner, datadoctors.com/radio if you want to join us online. We'll be back shortly. You gotta love technology when it works and when it doesn't. But we got it going on here. We got it figured out. Yeah. It is the Computer Corner. We're talking about the tech that will rule the world in 2010. We referred to Project Natal and augmented reality. Both of those topics, we now have links on our website, datadoctors.com/radio. Get up to speed a little bit more. And we do have access to our email. So if you want to shoot an email question in, just go to that same datadoctors.com/radio page on the right-hand side. You'll see a couple places where you can click on a button and ask a question. All right, let's go back to the phones here and let's talk to Steve. Steve, are you with us?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, can you hear us?
Okay, yeah.
Earth to Steve. So 2010, is there anything on the horizon that you believe is the must-have technology, something you don't have now that you'd like to have sometime in the next 12 months?
Boy, kind of caught me off guard.
Yeah, no worries.
3D technology would be excellent.
In what respect? Where do you think you'd like to use that 3D?
You know, if we're like my screens, I'll have 32-inch LCD TVs that I use as my computer monitors.
Uh-huh.
And some type of 3D technology there when you know, just surfing web, web browsers, that type of stuff.
So just more experience level or like entertainment more so than functionality. Sure.
Exactly.
Well, I think your wish may be coming true here, right?
Yeah, there is something NVIDIA makes, which is a graphic card manufacturer, graphic chip manufacturer. They got a 3D graphic card that goes in a computer, and there are a lot of movies, there are a lot of games that they're supporting. That will give that 3D vibration so you can wear their glasses and you have 3D, and it's compatible with a lot of movies, a lot of games.
Well, yeah, you can get the full surround sound. You can get the motion, I mean, basically the seat that rumbles when you hit something. I mean, you can get pretty close to virtual reality these days if you're willing to spend the money.
See, getting it to the point where you don't have to wear the glasses.
Where you just look at it with regular eyes?
Yeah, kind of hieroglyphic type.
Okay, you might have to wait another year or two for that.
Yeah, I'm sure we're a ways off on that.
All right, Steve, what's going on there? What can we help you with?
Okay, I've got an old laptop, and it doesn't work any longer. I've taken the hard drive out of it, and I want to transfer the information on that hard drive to one of my desktops.
Okay.
And I bought one of the casings that you put that hard drive into, plug it into a USB drive, and I can when I plug it in the USB drive on my desktop, I can see all the files and data and everything that I want to transfer. But when I try to move it from the hard drive to my desktop, I don't have permissions to do it.
Oh, okay. So it's possible that the drive that was in your laptop, it sounds like you had an administrative level.
Right. It was password protected to get into you know, when I boot the computer up, I have to put in a password to get to that user.
Right, and so that stuff's been protected. So you're going to have to go through a process that allows you to reacquire control through the administrative account on the new computer of those folders. Now, depending upon what you set up and how you set it up, you may have some real fun doing that. So I'm going to put you on hold if you don't mind, because I don't have internet access where I'm sitting.
And okay.
So if you can hold on through the break, I'll get you some very specific verbiage and websites that I can refer you to that'll kind of walk you through the process.
Okay, that'd be perfect.
So that you can. But basically what's happened is you locked yourself out because you said, I want to make sure that only people that have this username and password have access to these files.
Well, and so, yeah, it's the whole, you know, just getting into that particular, when it boots up, I have three different users on that computer.
Right.
And one of them is password protected, right?
Right, and that's, so it's just doing its job. It's trying to keep unauthorized eyes from looking at the files, because that's what you
exactly.
told, you said, I want to protect these files when you first started up.
So right.
So the lesson to be learned here, folks, is you know, when Windows asks you these questions like, do you want to share this information with others, this is basically what happens when you say no. You basically make it much more difficult to get to the files should something like this happen. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. You just need to understand that you could end up in the same situation as Steve there. So hang on, Steve. I'm sorry?
Okay. I was going to say, if I take this into someplace like DataDoctors, can you guys remove that password?
Well, it's not a matter of removing it, but it's basically going through the administrative settings and basically reacquiring access being granted access to those files through a particular process. Yeah,
forcing it.
Yeah, absolutely. We can do that, but, you know, that's up to you.
Okay. Yeah,
right.
I'll wait.
All right, hang tight.
He was talking about 3D. I remember going to the fair about, I don't know, 10 years ago, and they had this thing that you would stand in. You put on these virtual reality glasses, and you had these two controllers, and you moved in a 3D environment. Whatever happened to that? I mean, you don't see a lot of that anymore, virtual reality.
Well, but the problem with virtual reality, I remember seeing, I put my first helmet on that had that, I don't know, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's one of those things you're going, oh, that was cool. But, I mean, how often do you go to amusement parks?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, how practical is it in today's world? Now,
they still have some of those games, actually, in arcade games. They have
sure.
that helicopter game where you know, hold it
but
up.
It's not,
whatever,
it's not
but it's not
practical
as, cool.
yeah. as a user interface, unless, like, the military, right,
yeah.
is using
yep.
it. Pilot training. Simulations, that's where this technology really, the people that invented this stuff that thought the whole world's going to do this at home realized, okay, one, it's too expensive. Two, there's too many places where things can break down to where it's not going to work, right? And three, after a while, it's like anything else. Okay, that was cool at first. Now it's like a nuisance.
The whole lawnmower man thing kind of, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't, you know, some version of that will creep its way into our world. But, I mean, you're starting to see now, I think what's going to happen, you're going to see more external displays. So not this, I mean, whether it's holograms or now you're talking about cell phones that have projectors. And so, you know, you got the Microsoft Surface technology, right?
Yep.
So
yep.
Virtually any surface can become a display. And I think that's really where we're headed, to where you don't have to have 3D or all this special stuff. You just have everything around you has the ability to give you information and talk back to you and recognize you through cameras and movement. And I don't know if it's necessarily all that great, but I think that's where we're headed. Right now, we're headed to talk to Dave. Dave, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Computer Corner, and Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you guys. Been listening to you for more than I want to say, years.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I was going to say minutes or years.
No, years.
That's good. Well, thanks for being with us.
You are. I'm a retired broadcaster. You guys are top notch.
Wow, thank you very much. What a great way to start the year, huh?
If I was the program director, I would want you on my station.
Super, thank you.
I am I'm a geezer, as Gatos would say, and I haven't had a computer for about 9 years. My other one died. A friend gave me one with XP. It's a Dell. I got to do dial-up. So I got some questions related to dial-up and security.
Okay.
I found a company called copper.net based in the U.S. with U.S. support. Oh, it's so nice to talk to an American. Did I do good there?
You know, I'm not actually, because dial-up is so far from, you know, my world.
You guys are so far ahead of me. I don't
have any specific information about it other than suggest that you, you know, look at all the user reviews and see if you can find other people that have had an experience with
what's,
it?
Well,
they were rated top of the list. I tried MSN. What a disaster that was.
I mean, the reality is dial-up is the redheaded stepchild of the internet.
Oh, I know.
And so all of the people that are really focusing on high-speed internet, generally those are not good people to go to for dial-up.
Well, these guys aren't. They're just doing dial-up.
Yeah.
Are you thinking dial-up just because of the area you're in?
I'm doing it because I am poor. I cannot afford...
What's that dial-up account run you?
$14.95 after the initial $7.47.
I believe the early stages of high speed are $19, depending on who you go with. So it's
they're not
very expensive.
You might want to look at check with Quest for their DSL.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Now here's the thing: they don't. My phone line is antiquated.
You don't qualify. Well, no, you're too far away from what's called a CO, the Connect office.
Yeah. So I don't think I could even use that other.
Do you? Well, let me ask you this: do you have a cell phone?
No.
Okay. I was going to say because a lot of cell phone providers these days provide a much higher level obviously certainly higher than dial-up.
Yeah.
And sometimes they can be cost-effective, especially if you don't do a lot of surfing.
Well,
but it sounds like you're there. So you got dial-up. It looks like it's working.
Now, I need a free download for antivirus, anti-spyware. Now, I looked on the internet, and I found AWG. Do you know that company?
AVG?
AVG.
Yeah,
okay.
they're fine, but here's what I'd recommend you do. You have Windows XP, right?
Yes.
Microsoft came out with something called Security Essentials about 6 months ago.
Okay.
4 months ago. It's free. It's made by Microsoft. It is. The problem I have with a third party, if you're going to go with a freebie third party, they all are doing that to try to convince you to buy something somewhere down the road. So they're going to constantly bombard you with all these things. And if you're not paying attention, you think you're getting an update when in fact you're saying, okay, I want to buy this. So all of the tests that we've done and all the tests that I've seen out there for the Microsoft Security Essentials has been very good.
So go to Microsoft Security Essentials.
Yeah, just search Google for that, and it'll take you right to the download page. What I might recommend you think about doing, I can't remember now how it downloads. If it's something that you can download as a complete executable, which I believe it is, don't do this on your dial-up because a week from now when we're in Vegas covering the Consumer Electronics Show, you might just barely be getting the download finished.
Oh.
Do you have any friends, family, somebody that you can go to that does have a high-speed internet connection?
Yeah. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Download it from their connection and burn it to a thumb drive or a CD or something.
Okay.
You'll thank yourself.
Yep. Okay.
last tip. I mean, you're going to be doing dial-up. Use Google Chrome, browser. You'll notice with slower speeds, it has a little bit faster of a... browsing.
Google Chrome and Firefox would both be more advantageous for you, especially on that older machine, as a browser instead of the blue E, Internet Explorer.
Yeah, now how do I switch to that?
You would do, you know, while you're there at your friend's house,
Go
to Mozilla.com. That's where Firefox is.
Okay.
Or Google.com/Chrome, which is their browser. And so download all three of those things onto that. You know, make it a party. It's a download party.
Okay. Well, I got a 4 gig thumb drive at one of the office stores for $10.95.
Yeah.
That's
no. That'll be more than enough space there.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And one quick question. I got an offer from Explorer, which is what I'm using. It came up on the screen last night. For a download for their latest version, which is 8, I think.
Don't do it.
Don't
bother. Not with dial-up.
Okay.
Use the one that's on there whenever you have to use Internet Explorer. Otherwise, use Mozilla, the Firefox, or Chrome.
So what I would do is download that on the thumb drive.
Correct.
Bring it home, stick it in the machine, and then...
Yeah, because you want to run the installation from the thumb drive, not through the Internet.
Okay.
Because you're on that...
too long.
Because you're on that rusty wire.
Yeah.
Think of it this way. You know those really luscious, thick chocolate milkshakes?
Yeah.
You have a little coffee stirrer.
Okay. Like what I'm drinking right now.
Exactly. You're going to hurt yourself. Don't try to drink that straw through that little tiny straw.
Hey, you guys... just keep doing what you're doing. You're probably so far ahead of me, I won't get much out of your stuff now, but...
No, you will. You just stick with us.
So
thank you, Dave.
Yeah.
All right. Happy New Year. And that opens up a phone line, 602-277-5827. But right now it's time for a caffeine break. Back right after this. And welcome back to the Computer Corner. It's 2010. Whatever it is.
It's hard. I guess you just pick one that works.
You know what we need? We need somebody that was alive in 1909 so that they could tell us how the world dealt with it. Yeah. So if you're out there, please call in. 602-277-5827. If you came around a little bit later, you can call in as well. 602-277-5827. Got another hour to go. We're talking about what to expect in technology when it comes to this coming 12 months. We'll give you more specific details of what you can tangibly look for on next week's show as we broadcast live from the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas. You'll hear all the noise in the background and whatever else, and we'll try to have very specific information that we've talked about, like I said earlier in the show. If you're not a Facebook fan and you'd like to kind of monitor what we're doing as we post things throughout our visit with the folks up at the Consumer Electronics Show, facebook.com/datadoctors. You become a fan, and then it'll just show up on your Facebook page as we're posting the stuff. We'll have videos, we'll have pictures. We're also going to be doing some video segments for CNN.com, Channel 3. We're gonna try to create as much information as we can. We'll try to get all that stuff out there. So
last year when you guys went out there, I saw some pictures, and you know you're starting to see a lot of that stuff kind of hitting the market in some way or form. You know, like the LED TVs, which are real thin. They had OLED down there in display.
Right.
Or the touchpads. I went to Target recently, and they have a touchpad, and you can hook the charge device to, you know, your iPhone, your Wii, and you just touch it and put it right on that little pad, and it charges. And you're starting to see a lot of that kind of stuff coming.
Yeah, the wireless electricity.
Whitricity or whatever.
Well, Whitricity is different. That's not quite in a consumer format yet, whereas what you're talking about, Robert, is where you have a special little device that you put on the back. The problem with that is that it makes the thing much thicker to be able to get the induction. Because it's using magnetic induction to transfer energy from the little mat that you put it on into this thing. So you got to put this thing on, and then you got to remember to set it on the mat. So is that really more efficient than just plugging it into your...
No, but, you know, we'll start seeing phones come out with them. I did see the Palm Pre, which
has
built-in.
Now, if it's got it built-in, that's a different deal. And I know that's really where this becomes more interesting.
Yep.
Because then you just set your phone down and it's charging. Done. But is that going to also screw up battery life?
That's the question. I've always wondered what damage is it going to do?
Effect?
And those of us with iPhones that can't change our own batteries without going through some real pain.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, those batteries...
It's buy a new iPhone at that point.
No, it's not. It's not. You can send it in and get the battery replaced. It's just, it's a pain.
Yeah. Yep.
You'd be without it and that kind of thing. So, all right, when we come back... Oh, by the way, Steve, sorry I didn't get to you before the break there. I lost you on the connection, but if you're still listening, it's... read what I have up there on the screen there. This is what you want to search for in Google. It's take over access. I have it up there.
Which one?
Has to do with the taking ownership. How to take ownership of files and folders in Windows XP. That's what Steve was asking about. So if you put that into Google, Steve, how to take ownership of files in Windows XP. If you put that into Google, the first thing that should come up is the knowledge base article from Microsoft that walks you through step by step. It's like 18 different steps, and you got to be logged in as the right thing, and you got to go into safe mode, and there's a lot of steps in there, which is why I didn't try to cover it on the air.
Yeah, it's difficult.
I believe he said he had Windows XP. So, and if not, then you can do the same thing. Just substitute Windows Vista, Windows 7 for Windows XP in your search condition for Google. So that should help you out there. All right. Take a look at our website, datadoctors.com/radio. We've got links to lots of predictions about what's coming up in 2010. But when we come back, we're going to talk more about Project Natal, which we have a link to. So if you haven't seen this, go check this thing out during the break. Yep. It's amazing. And if this actually ever comes to market, it could completely radicalize the user interface with all the technology that we love. But it's really about gaming right now.
Touch will be old school at that point.
Touch will be, what? You have to make contact? And the other thing is obviously the augmented reality that is a reality today in places like France, right, Taylor?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to tell the folks how augmented reality is changing life on the street in France, huh?
Yep, your nightlife, your bar hopping days are going to be much easier.
Woo!
Now that sounds interesting.
Right.
Why is it that a 16-year-old is going to tell us about
bar
hopping
days?
Bar hopping with technology in France. That's what makes this show so much fun. 602-277-5827. One line open. Back after this.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go, don't!
It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
And welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. It is Ken Colburn, Robert Derizio. Huh?
Nice.
Nicely done. Whoa. And data doctor in training, Taylor Colburn.
What's going on?
Actually, you've already surpassed that, haven't you?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of.
You're bringing stuff that we don't even know about. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes here. But before we go on, it's time for us to educate the world on a new term, and I think this particular Geek Speak will be very helpful on the show, even when you tell us you don't want to fall into this position. Here's my theme song.
I feel it.
Are we going to get sued for this?
I don't know. It's the Geek Speak of the week. It's time to learn you something new in the vernacular of tech. This week's Geek Speak is, anybody got it?
Well, forklift computing.
Oh, no, upgrade.
Upgrade. Ah, forklift upgrade.
Upgrade.
I messed that one up.
What, pray tell, is a forklift upgrade?
Geez, that one gets you kind of going for a second there. It's pretty much a full replacement of your computer setup.
Like something really expensive or, right?
Yeah, and you're thinking, forklift, well, how's that? That doesn't match. Well, back in the day, forklifts used to have to come in and pull these big units out of the
mainframes,
out of the building,
right?
These big mainframes.
Yeah, it literally would have to bring a forklift in to make an upgrade, to change the hardware out. And, you know, in the past, when Microsoft came out with a new version of Windows, a lot of times for people that had 4 or 5 year old computers, you had to do a forklift upgrade,
jeez,
basically replace everything to be able to use the new operating system.
Could you even imagine? I couldn't even imagine having to, every time you had to replace computers, you forklift.
Well, back then, jeez, only the few had those things. So
that.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably a point of pride. Hey, here we go, let's replace it again. So when you call in on the show and you're asking us a question, feel free to use that in your question to say, "I'd prefer not to have to do a forklift upgrade," and we'll know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
You don't want to go nutso with the replacement of all that technology.
It gets pretty expensive too.
Yeah. It does, and there are times when a forklift upgrade is appropriate, and there are times when it is not, and that's when you can call in and ask our opinion before you make that decision. 602-277-5827, like Barb did. Barb, welcome to the Computer Corner, and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Hello, boys. Happy New Year.
Well, how can we be of assistance?
I've been waiting and waiting. Is it still 2010?
We've only got a month left.
I have this weird thing going on. And with the computer, too. I have 2 Yahoo accounts.
By the way, just for disclaimer purposes, we can only help you with the weird stuff on the computer, okay?
Okay.
You might want to wait and talk to Dr. Benjamin the next hour.
Sounds good. The first Yahoo account I've had for 6 years.
Okay.
And now every time I try to log into that account, it makes me go in and reset the password.
That particular one?
Yes, only one.
And regardless?
And I have dial-up.
Okay, regardless of what machine you do it from, have you tried it from another machine?
I have.
And every single time it's asking
you? Not from another machine.
I'm sorry?
Not from the other machine, no. This one.
Okay. So generally what that means is there's a setting, there's a cookie, there's something in your internet history or cache that's probably confusing the Yahoo interface.
Oh.
So have you tried clearing that out or tried a different browser?
No, but I will.
The two options would be to go in. Do you know how to clean out your internet history and your internet cache?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, when you do that, it's also going to remove the information for other websites that generally you don't have to log in or do things with, right, because they're able to pull it from your cookie.
Right.
So understand that that's, you know, when you clean all this stuff out, some other stuff that used to just automatically log you in may not happen. They may ask you to log in again.
Yes, and I don't have a problem with that. That's
okay.
Fine. Yeah.
Just as long as you understand it. Yes. The other option is, so this is why we preach on this show to always have at least two browsers installed on your machine at all times. Mm-hmm. Internet Explorer and Firefox or something like that.
Okay.
Because what that allows you to do is very quickly switch over to the other browser, right?
Mm-hmm.
And see if you're getting the same problem.
Okay.
And if you are, then you can say, okay, that must be a Yahoo thing. And if you're not, you can say, ah, it's my Internet Explorer browser.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
It's a free diagnostic process that will save you a ton of time. That if you don't have the two browsers, then you have all these variables out there that you can't minimize. In other words, you call your internet service provider,
mm-hmm,
and you say, I'm having these problems. And the fact that you haven't been able to diagnose whether it's the browser or the connection or not, you could be on the phone for a long time just to have them tell you, well, it's not our problem.
Right.
You know,
right.
Yeah, you just wasted 2 hours and you speak some other, you know, crazy language now.
Oh, yeah. Besides English.
Right.
I understand.
So, I mean, it's a very quick way for you to figure out, is it the browser? Is it my connection? Is it the service that I'm trying to access?
Cool. All right.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Well, hopefully it was worth it.
It was worth it.
You know what? If you want to go ahead and call back and get on hold, we'll get you queued up for next week.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Take care, Barb.
Bye.
Hang on, Barb. Wait a minute. You said you're on dial-up.
Yes.
Well, then you're used to waiting.
You got that right.
All right.
Bye.
Take care now.
Isn't that a fun battle when you got to call your manufacturer or you call your email provider or you call Microsoft and
you know what's
no
funny?
One has an answer?
Waiting on hold to talk to us, Yahoos,
yeah,
right, is
yeah,
probably quicker than,
yeah,
than right, calling. It happens. 602-277-5827. We have Larry number one on, actually on number two. Larry.
Yes.
Welcome to the Computer Corner. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Anything?
I prefer not to have to do a forklift upgrade.
Okay. I don't think any of us want to do one.
I have a Dell Optiplex GX1 computer.
How old is that unit? How long do you have it?
It had a 1984 virus called
1984?
I think it was 84 or 93.
How long have you been using this computer? Really? You need a calculator?
Yeah, there you go.
A long time, huh?
What Windows system?
Windows 98.
Oh, my word. You're that
don't talk like that.
You're the last guy. You're that last guy that's still running Windows 98.
Don't talk like that.
Hey, is it working for you?
Yeah. Okay. I'm not computer literate. I'll admit that. I was doing something on it today, and the bar menu that says highlight and underline, I did something and it disappeared.
You're talking about in Microsoft Word?
Yes.
I got an easy one for you. That one has nothing to do with Windows 98, because this happens to all of us. It doesn't matter if you have the latest version of Windows or the old version. You removed accidentally one of what's called your toolbars.
How do I get it back?
Let's see. I'm going to have to guess based on the version of Word that you have. But I would imagine you have... Do you have it open in front of you?
Yes,
okay.
I do.
Do you see something that says View?
View, yes.
A little View menu. Go to View.
Normal, online layout, page layout, outline, master document, toolbars.
Toolbars!
Okay.
And in there, you put a check mark in front of the one for standard and format and some of the others.
Tell
you what. Hang,
I put a check mark there, because if I press the arrow, it'll go directly to that.
Yeah, if you put a check mark or select that item, then basically it'll start showing you that again. I'll put you on hold because we're going to break here, and we'll take care of this one off the air. But that does happen. View toolbars and play around with those. Turn them on and off, and you'll see what's going on. It's the Computer Corner. We're going to be back right after I figure out how to talk. And welcome back to the Computer Corner. Ken Colburn, Taylor Colburn, Robert currently absent, using the restroom.
Diarizio.
Oh, he's on a coffee run?
Might be. Yeah.
Well, one thing leads to another. It is what it is. 602-277-5827. Augmented reality. Let's talk about that a little bit, shall we?
All right, let's do it.
If you have an iPhone, you have at least 10 applications, which we have a link to, that will allow you to start to experience augmented reality. In some cases, available only in Europe. But at least you'll get a sense of what we're talking about. So
right.
If you have no idea what augmented reality is and you really want to understand it in a tactical, visual way, visit us online, datadoctors.com/radio. Look at this week's links, to the resources at the bottom. In fact, I think it's the last link right now. Where there's a mashup or Mashables article about 10 of the current apps that are out there for iPhones. The one that we were talking about in France, for the Frenchmans.
It's called Le Bar, and it's
actually... Le Bar.
It's not actually...
Leave it to the French. For we have an app for that. It's called Le Bar.
It's actually backed by Stella Artois. And
imagine that.
Right? Yeah. It's actually not released yet. It's
Stella!
A guide. There's demos up showing what it's going to do.
And what is it going to do for the Frenchmen that have Le Bar on their iPhones?
So basically, it shows you local bars, gives you links to reviews, gives them the address, based on a video, like a live video feed that you have on your iPhone. So you open up the video application and just move it around, and it'll tell you, based on your screens, where your screen's looking, that you have on your iPhone. So you open up the video application and just move it around, and it'll tell you, based on your screen, where the bars are.
And like, look, the go to the right.
Right. And actually,
so it's like those...
Like you're getting ready to take a picture.
Well,
right.
A picture?
Yeah,
a
like
picture.
You're about ready to take a picture, you know, so you're demoing where you want to take a snapshot of.
Is this the picture where the sea is silent?
The, yeah. Oh.
Hey, bada 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 bada, swing bada. It's almost like those third person shooter games.
Exactly.
It's like, so, oh, there's somebody around the corner.
So it adds these different tags and these boxes that have little arrows that almost look like quoting boxes or something where it would be speech bubbles, coming up out of buildings and
right on
area.
Your screen.
Yeah, and you can actually you can get it so it tells you step by step by directions when you come out of the bar. It can tell you the nearest taxi's location.
You know what I want?
I
want to get to the point where, like, Urban Spoon, they'll tell you, okay, within 5 miles or 3 miles is a Chinese restaurant or whatever, and then if you click through, you can get all the reviews. I want the augmented reality version of Urban Spoon. I hope they're listening.
They have it.
Well, but I want it where I just move it around, and it shows, oh, there's a Chinese restaurant, and the reviews pop up saying,
don't eat that.
I actually do believe that they have that. Urban Spoon is working on
that. The augmented reality? Yeah.
So you're getting real-time updates just based on where you're looking.
Here's what I'm talking about.
It's cool.
I'm lazy. When I'm in a strange city, yeah, okay, it's cool. I'm standing there. It says nearby are these restaurants, and I can click through. And how many clicks is it, though, to get to the reviews and figure it out? Then you go back, and you go, I want it to where I just wave it around going, okay, I'm going to go to that restaurant because, you know, it comes up green.
That's going to, you know, if they do that, that's going to be a business ender for some.
No, you know what it's going to do is it's going to, you know what I love about the internet today is everyone has a voice.
Yep.
And when everyone has a voice when it comes to a service business, a restaurant business, anything, we're in the service business.
Yep.
We're human. We're not perfect. Things happen. In fact, I'm more interested in people that have negative feedback than positive feedback. The expectation is we want everybody to have a positive experience with us, but we only learn from the negative ones,
yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so anybody that's interested in improving their business, their life, or whatever it is, will listen to that and make changes, right? Whereas the people that don't, you're talking about that it's going to be a business ender. The people that don't bother to listen to their customers, I agree with you, they're going to be done. But think about the speed in which this can happen with today's internet and this augmented reality, how quickly somebody that's looking for that information can find it. Between that and social media and everything else, it's pretty darn exciting as far as I'm concerned. But that's just me.
You know, there was a picture of just a prototype, kind of what you could expect, and the person standing at a graveyard, he's looking at a tombstone, and up comes a bunch of digital information about that person that passed away.
How about Google Goggles?
That sounds interesting.
That is a project that Google's undertaking right now where we just went through this. We spent 9 hours on the road driving up to Durango for Christmas, right? And there are these weird things and these structures and this stuff that's going on. You're going, wow, I wonder what that is. Imagine being able to take your camera phone out, taking a picture, having it go to the Google goggles where it figures out what that image is and comes back and says, oh, that's, you know, a military installation that's secret and nobody's supposed to know about it.
But now you know.
But Google goggles know. So, like, I mean, it's still in a very early form of this, but just think about that for a second.
Virtual tour guides.
Yeah. You folks that make your living as a tour guide, you should be a little scared of that technology. That's not true. The human impact is so much better. But still, think about the impact of that going to any place where you quickly need to get information about something you're looking at. Pretty mind-boggling and probably going to be real. And welcome back to the Computer Corner. I like that. I'm going to steal that from Dave.
The
shovel to hole ratio. I mean, does that not apply to the computer world?
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, let's go to the email bag there, shall we? We've got a few people that...
just a second, actually, Dad.
I caught you off guard, did I? Ha-ha, ha-ha.
You did, and the Internet Explorer, the window that you had it open on, closed down.
Well, you know what?
So
here's the gist of the question that I wanted to answer. I think it was Dave. Maybe it wasn't Dave.
Was it the netbook?
Yeah.
Okay, that would be Mark.
Mark. Mark wanted to know, hey, I have a netbook and trying to watch video and it's kind of choppy and ugly and doesn't really work too well. And, you know, what can I do about that? Well, Mark, it's a great example of why so many people buy netbooks and then end up with the less than desirable results. Without knowing all the parts of what you're doing, if you're connecting to an internet service and watching video, there's two issues there. One, the internet connection itself, if it's not capable of continually delivering those packets. And let me step back and explain that when you're watching video on the internet, you're getting, think of it like ping pong balls, and each ping pong ball is a second or two of video. And when they're all lined up together and they're all touching one another, you get this smooth video. But when a ping pong ball, there's air between the two ping pong balls, that's where that stuttering occurs. So if your pipeline is not capable of allowing those ping pong balls to come at a pretty good rate of speed, your ability to watch the video exceeds the ability for your internet connection to deliver those balls in a timely manner. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but
so pretty much
the visual, it worked in my head.
So if they're streaming, it could be internet connection speeds, if they're running air card.
It could be any of those things, depending upon how you connect to the internet. So that's one issue. The other is there's not a whole lot of horsepower. The little hamster cage in a netbook is not capable of keeping up. So if the video player you're using requires a lot of processing power, which some of them do, and without knowing which video type that you're trying to watch, it's really hard to say. But those are the two areas that you have to look at. The part where the internet connection is the problem, you can solve by going to a faster internet connection. You know, so try the netbook somewhere where you know you've got a wired connection and it's real fast. In other words, be on a network with other computers that are wired in that can go to the same site, right, and test to see, are they getting this stuff fast enough? Because if they have the same stuttering problem, then it's your internet connection because both computers are doing it. But if the regular computer sees it just fine and yours is stuttering, then you know it's that hamster cage,
yep.
The processor, which you can do nothing about.
The 1.6 liter Atom.
You cannot buy a smart car and then wonder why it's a real pain if you want to go camping.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing when you buy a netbook. You're buying a smart car. You're buying a car that's designed to get you from point A to point B with very few other things.
You can't do track day.
And like other people, right? You can have one other people. You can have maybe a set of golf clubs. Probably not two, unless you have the convertible version. So that's basically what's happening. And I think way too many people are buying netbooks because they're lower in price with the economy being what it is. They're going, oh my goodness, I got a portable computer. I got a laptop for, you know, $300 or $400. And that's not what you're getting. And you've heard me say this over and over again. And every retailer I've talked to has said it's the number one return item they've had in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
More people are buying these and bringing them back and wanting a refund and paying restocking charges and everything because they don't really understand what they're buying. So hopefully that helps, Mark. 602-277-5827 is the number. And we're going to go with Dan the Man.
Hello.
Welcome to the Computer Corner. How can we help you?
Hey, I've got all kinds of problems, I think. And I would be willing to take a forklift and drive over my computer.
That's called a forklift downgrade.
Forklift disposal.
Yes.
Yeah.
But hey, I smell what you're stepping in.
Okay. Now, the problem that I have that I really don't like is that when I turn my computer on, I check to see if the firewall is on.
Yes.
And it'll say it's off every time when I turn it on.
Okay.
And then I turn the firewall on. I'll put
Whose firewall are you using? Is it a third party, or is it the one built into Windows? Or
I think it's the one built into Windows.
Okay, so there's just the Windows firewall. Are you accessing this through the security settings, or are you just looking at it down on the bottom right corner when it keeps telling you that it's not there?
Well, no, it doesn't even say on the bottom right corner. It doesn't even say that it's on or off. I go through control panel and look at it, and it'll say that it's off. And this is the weird thing. I'll turn it on. I clicked it down, and my wife said, "Did you turn the firewall on?" And I said, "Yeah," you know, because it's been having a problem. And I went right back to it, and it was off again.
Are you logging in as an administrator?
Yes.
Okay. There's a couple of things that can cause this. One of them is not a good one. Because there are lots of infections out there that one of the first things they do is disable your firewall. And so you think you're turning it on, but your firewall has already been given a frontal lobotomy. And no matter what you do, it ain't going to come back because, you know, it's gone to the cuckoo's nest.
Okay. Now, one of the things that it does also, crazy, once in a while, it'll when you kick on, like, the control panel or whatever, the screen won't come up real quick. And all of a sudden, it gets like a green bar going across the top in the area where it says the word control panel, you know, that bar.
Are you in front of your machine by any chance?
Yes, I had it off because I have my cable people on the other line, and I just hung up on them. I wasn't going to talk to them while I'm talking to you.
Well, close off everything you have and do our little Control-Alt-Delete test to see how many processes you have running. Let's see if you just have an overrun machine here that has many more issues.
Okay.
Like you were talking about, you have lots of issues, maybe as many as the New York Times. and we need to really try to give you some guidance here if we can. So if we can get real-time interactive radio.
Yeah.
Boring as heck for everyone else. So make it quick, Dan.
I am. I turned it back on. They said turn it off because let me walk
through the process for those of you that might want to follow along with Dan. If you're in front of your computer, close off all the programs, your browsers, everything, and do a Control-Alt-Delete, which should bring up your task manager. In the bottom left-hand corner of the task manager, you'll see a little something that says processes, and we talked about this all the time. This is a quick way for non-technical people to understand, hey, I've got a problem. The next question is, well, how do I get rid of that problem? We're going to talk about that in a second. Those processes for a machine that's been serviced, freshly serviced by data doctors, we shoot for on a desktop in the mid to high 30s at the most, right? The lower, the better. In some cases, we can get it down, you know, in the real low 30s, the number of processes that are running. On a laptop, you might want to add another 5 or 6. If you have a really elaborate version of Windows 7 or something, you can get it up into the 40s. But if you have 60 or 70 or 80 processes, you definitely got problems that you need to have addressed. That's a quick way to say, okay, I need somebody to take a look at this for me because there's way too much going on here. And especially in a case like yours, Dan, where your firewall is mysteriously not staying, I mean, that's an indication that there's something malicious potentially going on.
Yep.
So you definitely want to get that looked at. So did you pull up your task manager?
Okay. Click on task manager. There. We're there. Okay.
Processes, bottom left corner. How many?
64.
Hello.
Ouch.
It changed 66. It keeps going up.
Okay. Now click on your performance tab at the top there.
Okay, performance tab.
Now, you should see a couple of different graphs.
Okay.
The first one will say CPU usage.
Got it.
And then it'll show you a percentage. Is that jumping up and down?
Yes.
That's not good. Bing. What's it going between 0 and what?
Actually, 15 and 60.
15 and 60?
39.
Okay. Yes.
74.
You have all of the indications of definite processes, malware, all kinds of stuff. In other words, this is one of the first things we check when people come in for an examination.
Mm-hmm.
These are the quick indicators. You got some serious stuff going on there. That's 60-some-odd processes, about 30 processes in there that don't need to be in there.
Yeah, it cuts all the way up to 84. before even.
Yeah, I mean, we've already established you're definitely in need of somebody that really understands the underpinnings of Windows. Take a look at this thing.
Got it. Okay.
It'll probably resolve your firewall issue, but it's kind of like when you have a rash, right? You go to the doctor. You can treat the rash, which is what most people do with their computer problems, right? They're having this problem. I just want this symptom to go away.
Right.
You really want to understand why the rash is there, what's causing the rash.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of times it's much bigger than you think. And in your case, same thing. You have an indication with this firewall.
Right.
Something's awry. Big time. You just did a little test, right? You got 105 degree temperature, right?
Yeah.
And you got some other weird, you know, irregular heartbeat and all kinds of stuff going on. You need to have it looked at by somebody that really understands what's going on that can examine that for you. And because of this particular set of indications you have, have them make sure that you didn't have what's called a keylogger installed. Keyloggers are very common hacker tools now where they're going to sneak into your machine and start recording every keystroke you make.
Yes.
And they want to do that because they're waiting for you to go to your bank, right? Put in your bank web address, put in your username, put in your password, and bada bing, bada boom, the guy in Bulgaria or the Philippines or wherever he is has your information, can basically go into your account, start changing your stuff. More importantly, if they can get your email account, that's the gateway to steal everything you own.
Yes.
Because if you think about whenever you say, I lost my password at the bank, what do they do?
Yes, so that's for just...
They say, we'll send you the link to reset your password to your email, right?
Yes, they do.
So if I can get your email address and your username and take it over, I can look in through all your emails, figure out where you bank, what stock brokerage firms you work with, every online account you have,
right,
and take over and change all the passwords, lock yourself, you out of yourself.
Yes. Okay.
And it does happen. Well, so if, in fact, whoever works with you discovers that you had a keylogger, or if you just want to play it safe, go to a machine you know is clean.
Right.
And go and just, as a precaution, go change the passwords on those key accounts.
Right.
Online banking accounts and those kinds of things.
Right.
From a machine you know that is clean.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. And if you don't have anybody that you know you can trust, or you know, you can stop by any Data Doctor store anytime, use any of our display machines, which are all going to be clean.
Okay.
And just say, Ken said I could come in and change my password. Just pop in there like you're, you know, saying howdy do.
Yes.
Change your password and go about your business, but get yourself secured there.
Super.
Hey, all right.
Appreciate it. Enjoy your show every Saturday.
Thank you, Dan.
You betcha.
And good luck with that. Keep us posted on that. But if you are in that same situation, I know everybody wants to know, how do I clean off the processes? When I come back, because this is one of the most common questions we have, we show you how to check to see if you're having a problem. The natural thing is, well, can't I be a brain surgeon? And that answer is coming up. Stay tuned. And welcome back to the Computer Corner. You guys ready with your predictions? We're coming up towards the end of the year.
Definitely.
Or the end of the year. The end of the year. The end of the show. Before we go on, though, you need to publicly call me out here with my stupidity, right?
All right. So you were talking about Urban Spoon and asking them or dropping hints that they should have an augmented reality dealio.
Yes, yes.
And actually, they've had it out since October, and you used it on our vacation a week ago to Durango. So
I forgot. I knew I was being brilliant.
Smart one.
I just didn't realize I was being brilliant afterwards. Yeah, actually, if you have Urban Spoon, there's an option for scope. And for those of you that don't have an iPhone, sad.
They don't have to deal with some other service provider.
Oh, yeah? Well, I have a thing that I can just point in the air, and it tells me which restaurants are in which directions. Urban Spoon is a phenomenal little app. Yes, there is an app for that. That is great for, especially when you're traveling, you're trying to find a restaurant. It's a quick way to look at what's near you. You can do it by maps. Because the iPhone has the GPS mechanism built into it, it knows where you're at, so it can say within 2 miles, 3 miles, here's a Mexican restaurant, Chinese restaurant, whatever. But the scope feature, those of you that have not clicked on that, if you just use an Urban Spoon and you shake it, you've seen the TV commercials, you shake it and it gives you restaurant suggestions. You can click on the scope option, which is the bottom far right, and hold your iPhone up like you're going to take a picture of something and just move it along the horizon. And exactly what I was saying they should think about doing, little bubbles show up that show, in the middle of the bubble is a percentage, 68%, 98%. That's the percentage of people that reviewed that said that they liked it. And then underneath it shows you the name of the restaurant.
So this idea was actually a memory of you using it. You just forgot to use it.
I think,
it was an idea.
Yes, I'm in parallel universes. I think.
I've done that.
I don't know. What are you going to do? All right, so, Taylor.
Yes.
2010. What do you, when we're sitting here a year from now, what do you think will have happened that you believe is going to happen sitting here now?
I think that, one, MIT's Y-tricity will be much more advanced and possibly integrated into...
Y-tricity.
Yes, Y-tricity.
Tell the folks what Y-tricity is.
I do believe we've mentioned this before a couple of times. It's an MIT... was where it was birthed, really. It started off as a prototype that transferred electricity based on magnetic resonance and coupling.
Wow.
Big words, but basically a good representation of that would be an opera singer who sings at the right frequency to cause a wine glass to shatter. It's resonating at the same frequency as that glass, which allows for energy exchange.
Sure, right.
And so that energy causes that glass
to shatter. They have this receiver and sender system, right? Where they have, so it's truly wireless electricity. So you could actually have a television when this is all real.
Well,
the prototypes, but someday we as consumers, are you predicting by the end of the year maybe we'll have some devices?
Yes.
That you can, maybe smaller devices?
They've actually, there's a TED video from the TED conference where it's a good 10-minute video where he shows phones that he's actually attached something to the back to, iPhone, I think it's two other ones, I think there was the Google phone was on there, and he passes it in between the TV and the receiver, or the transmitter, where there's this big, maybe 3-foot space of open air, and just passes the phone in front of it, and you see the phone start charging, and he pulls it back, and it stops charging.
That's a video that's on TED?
Right.
We'll have to put that on the...
So they're working on an ability to walk into a room, and instead of being pointed at, it doesn't have to have line of sight or anything like that, it can pass through a wall. Any sort of thing like that.
Just being in the room, you'll be charging.
And it'll be charging.
That is my kind of wireless electricity.
Which I can assume that that'll be here within the next year or two.
Cables are gone.
So the people that make all those systems for cleaning up cables and hiding them, that's the buggy whip of the next decade, huh? How about you, Robert? What do you think?
Well,
what do you think it's
going to
be?
We're going to touch interactivity, which is pretty cool. And Natal next year will introduce motion interactivity, which is going to be pretty cool. Brings me back to the Minority Report days.
Yeah.
But what about thought? So, you know, Toys R Us had a few, like a Star Wars thing where you put on a headband and you can move the ball based on thought, brainwaves. Thought will be big 10 years from now.
Well, what about the end of this year?
End of this year is going to be motion.
It's going to be motion.
And, more refinements to touch.
So it's bad enough that people are walking around with these little cyborg things in their ear, the little Bluetooth headsets, and they're waving and talking, right? So now they're going to actually have to be waving because they're going to be interfacing.
They're going to look like, you remember when you first saw someone talk with the wireless headset and they look like they're talking to themselves, but now they'll be motioning to themselves.
It's going to look like on an airplane just before they say, okay, everybody has to turn their phones off? Can you imagine that? See that everybody's, I'm trying to get the spreadsheet finished. Could be interesting. Well, I think there's a lot of technology, and all those predictions from all the people around the internet are on our website, datadoctors.com/radio. I think 2010 is going to be the year that Google jumps the shark.
Oh, yeah. They're going to do some good things.
No. Jump the shark means... You remember the old happy days when Fonzie jumped the shark? That was the end? It was the beginning of the end?
You think so, huh?
I think, think about how powerful Google has become. Do we as a society allow people to raise to a level? I mean, look at Tiger. As soon as they had the opportunity to tear that guy down, they did.
Yeah, but
Microsoft.
Apple, I mean, look at Apple. I mean, Apple's got massive power.
Apple's time is coming. They've already set the stage for their downfall, right? Because they keep telling people how much safer it is. And as soon as there's enough people with Apple machines and they all start getting attacked, there's going to be a big negative backlash for that. The problem is most people are starting to really understand how much Google knows about us.
Yeah.
And I think that's what...
Scary.
I think you're going to see some really interesting... I don't know if it's going to be antitrust or if it's going to be the government involved, but there's a lot of that backlash I think is going to occur with Google, especially if they start taking over the cellular phone. They're going to know everything about everything you do anywhere. Is that good or bad?
I don't know.
It's scary. Datadoctors.com/radio if you want to see any of the links that we talked about. Robert, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having
Taylor,
me.
Taylor, nice job.
Quite welcome.
And next week, we'll see you from the Consumer Electronics Show.
Grammy, Oscar, and Tony Award winner Marvin Hamlisch performs live in concert with the Phoenix Symphony January 8th through the 10th. From his groundbreaking and Pulitzer Prize-winning A Chorus Line to his chart-topping hits written for Barbra Streisand, Marvin Hamlisch will perform these legendary songs and more on the stage of Symphony Hall. Tickets on sale now at the Phoenix Symphony box office or by visiting Phoenix.